Live local talk. It's Tesh Matters on the voice of the Tesh. Kane Radio, New Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
18 minutes after 10 o'clock, our Mellow Joy coffee time. My pleasure to welcome back to the show Marty Harrell in another edition of Positively Iberian. I know we've got a positively full segment here, so Marty, let's get into it.
Absolutely. You know, last Thursday, we recognized, and the world recognized, the first anniversary of the World Health Organization declaring COVID-19 as a global pandemic. And unless you've been living under a rock, you've been hearing and seeing all means of recaps and features about the last 12 months. However, today on Positively Iberia, we are bringing it home to Iberia Parish with our own statistics and perspectives from a panel of local experts on the subject. So let's meet them. Dr. Stefanski, you take it first.
Hey, good morning. I'm so happy to be joining you all. Yes, I'm Dr. Tina Stefanski. I'm the medical director for the Office of Public Health here in Acadia.
Awesome. Larry?
And my name is Larry Richard. I'm the Iberia Parish president.
Dr. B.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having us on the show. My name is Francois Villinger. I'm the director of the New Iberia Research Center here in New Iberia.
And Ms. Jane?
Hi, I'm Jane Fontenot. Thank you so much for having us today. I am the associate director for New Iberia Research Center and the director of contract research here.
Sounds like we got a great panel, huh, Jeff?
No doubt about it.
We should hear some good stuff today. And don't forget, radio listeners, if you'd like a peek behind the curtain of this radio show, we're recording the Zoom panel so you can watch us on the radio. It'll be posted on our Facebook page, the Positively Iberia Facebook page, later today. So, a little over a year ago, just a few of us actually knew that we live in Region 4 of the Louisiana Department of Health, Office of Public Health District. But starting last spring, our first guest became the familiar face of the OPH Region 4 on our televisions, radios, print, and social media. Dr. Stefanski, we greatly appreciate your time today and know that you're on a tight schedule. So please give us the big picture for COVID in Region 4 and Iberia Parish and where we started, where we are today, and what we might expect, and what should we be doing going forward.
Sure. So good morning, everybody, and certainly, you know, what a year it has been and what different position we're in now versus where we were last year at this time. And I think we all need to recognize that great part of that is due to the great news about these vaccines, which is what I'll finish up with. But to start with, where we are is, you know, first of all, Larry knows well, and I know he's going to talk about these biweekly and weekly calls that we have as a community led by Mr. Richard. But where we are now is a lower rate of cases. And so we've seen kind of the peaks and valleys of this pandemic. We saw, you know, the increases last spring that really we weren't as affected by it as the New Orleans region. But we really saw our cases rise in this community in the summertime and then again in the fall and around the holidays. So we're seeing this big decrease in cases following that post-holiday peak. So the cases continue to decrease. They're starting to plateau somewhat. So we're not seeing that great decline that we saw really in January. But we continue to see lower rates of cases, lower rates of hospitalizations. But again, our hospitalizations have plateaued. I'm at about 50 to 60 people hospitalized throughout our region with COVID. So, again, kind of a plateauing in that slowdown. And our percent positivity, which a lot of people follow, that's one of those terms that, like you said, Region 4, another term that a lot of people didn't, you know, had never heard of is percent positivity. But we track that, and that's the number of people, the percent of people who are getting tested who actually tested positive. And so we want that below 10%, really below 5%. As a region, we're at about 4% positivity, and Iberia Parish is at about 3.7%. So again, that's wonderful. And so I think our messages are to people, though, we're watching these variants. So this virus has changed. And with Dr. Villinger and Jane, I'm not going to talk too much about virology and mutations because they're probably definitely more the expert than I am on those kinds of things. But just in general, these viruses change. So the more it has opportunity to spread, the more mutations or variants that we're likely to see. So I think people need to recognize that while we're now seeing more and more of these variants, so a different strain essentially of the virus circulating in our communities, we need to keep up those preventive practices, wear your mask, keep distance between you and other people who you don't live with, and be vaccinated when it's offered to you. That's the key to our getting out of this pandemic and back to more normal life. And so that's really my message to people. We've seen in the state of Louisiana over 1.4 million people vaccinated, which is wonderful. We're seeing great results. And people need to seek out good sources of information, lots of misinformation on social media. So again, your panel this morning is just incredible and can help to educate people. Talk to trusted people. I bet if you call your doctor's office, they're going to tell you, yes, that their primary care doctor, cardiologist, or nephrologist is saying everyone in their practice should be vaccinated. So talk to trusted people and know that we're doing, everything we can to get vaccine out to people. There in Iberia Parish, the vaccination rate of initiated, so people who got 1%, one dose of vaccine is about 15% of the population. That's wonderful. And so, we're seeing a lot of interest, and we want to see that interest grow as the eligibility groups expand.
And where are we now on the eligibility? I've kind of lost track because I was in that first tier.
Sure. So, I think we did a great job as we were talking early in the state, from the governor's level on down, and kind of a thoughtful rollout, making sure we got those people most at risk first, covered first, healthcare providers. And so now it's anyone 18 or older for the Moderna or Johnson & Johnson, or 16 and older for Pfizer, who have certain health conditions. And it's actually a pretty long list. Smokers, people with high blood pressure, people who are overweight, in addition to lots of other heart problems, lung problems. So a great portion of the population is eligible for vaccination now.
That's awesome. And again, it's like, please, sleeve up. When it's your turn, sleeve up, right? That's
sure,
the message.
Yep, that's our slogan. That's going to be how we return to normal. And I think even more importantly, certainly the return to normal is really important for all of us economically. That's the key. But also to saving people's lives. I don't think we talk enough about, in Iberia Parish, you had close to 150 people die from this pandemic. We don't. There's people dealing with the long-term effects of this virus. It's important that we get vaccinated to protect ourselves, and also kind of back to that sense of community, which I know you probably talk a lot about on your radio show, that you're being vaccinated protects you, and we're hoping to see evidence that it will actually protect the entire community and keeping the low rate of virus circulating in our community. So it's important.
So those of us who have had either the one-shot J&J or the two-shot Pfizer Moderna, what should we be doing to protect our friends and family who haven't had shots yet?
Sure. So talk about your experience. Some people do have some, expected symptoms after vaccination, the sore arm. The younger you are, the more likely you are to have a great immune response. So some people might have some aches and pains, low-grade temperature. You take something like Tylenol, if that happens, and those symptoms are very short-lived. So I would say if you've been vaccinated, talk to your friends and family and give them, help them understand your experience and help connect them to a vaccine. And that's, I think, really the most important thing you can do. The other good news is we have quarantine, another term we all learned a lot about, or the public learned a lot about. So the new guidance is that if you've been fully vaccinated, then if you're exposed, you don't have to quarantine because the vaccines are that good at protecting you. So,
wow.
And very effective vaccines.
That's good news. I hadn't heard that. And you'll be happy to know, Dr. Stavansky, that I actually journaled my process on my personal Facebook page from day one of phase one through day one of phase two, and collected anecdotal information, shared with friends, that kind of thing. So I'm glad to know, I hope that helped people to be less hesitant about it.
Yes, there's a lot of misinformation out there, so I think the more accurate and good information that people can get, the better.
Yeah, and I will say this, and I think we will talk about it later on in the panel. I encountered friends who are resistant and tried to put information that I didn't believe to be true posted under it, but I wasn't going to argue with them because they have to do what they feel is right for themselves. So sad but true.
And hopefully, more and more people will come around. I think the best evidence is seeing their friends and family and doctors and nurses that they know vaccinated and seeing the good results so that I think is going to be helpful to some of the people who are the most hesitant.
Anyone on the panel have a question for Dr. Stefanski before we move to Larry and get some comments from our parish president? Oh, if not, moving on. Hey, we'll do this like a council meeting, Larry. You need no introduction. So what's on the horizon for the parish?
Well, first, if I can, I would like to start by saying tomorrow, March the 19th, is the very first day, March 19th of 2020, Iberia Parish, we had our first positive case in Iberia Parish. Tomorrow is going to make 1 year for that. I would like to start back talking about the region, since Doc mentioned the region and you mentioned Region 4. For almost a year now, we have been having weekly calls. We started off having two calls a week because this got very serious very fast. Calls on Monday morning at 11 and on Thursday at 11. And on the calls, it grew from just being parish presidents and some mayors and Dr. Stefanski all the way to having the parish presidents, the mayors, members from the governor's office, the Department of Health and Hospital, our congressional delegations, Senator Kennedy, Cassidy, and Congressman Higgins. We have UL on the phone. We have Dion with our hospital here. It just grew to be a very, very huge group of people that was meeting by telephone conference twice a week, and it helped a lot, because what was happening in Iberia Parish, Lafayette Parish, for example, may not have started to happen yet in Evangeline Parish or in Acadia Parish. But some of the things that we did in these parish and talked among ourselves when it got to the other areas of the region, the parish presidents and the Homeland Security people and the many other people that's on this call was ready for it. And it helped a lot. In fact, we've had panels where we went on to talk in different areas of the region about just how helpful this call has been.
Larry, I have a question, and maybe Tina may bring in on this. Could you give us the boundaries of Region 4? So I think our listeners may or may not know exactly who that is. And also, just I'll make a point while I have the floor for a second. The virus didn't know geographic lines. So
exactly.
it had to be more than just who was within a parish. Absolutely.
So what was going on, the region of Region 4 is Evangeline Parish, Vermilion Parish, Lafayette Parish, Acadia Parish, St. Landry Parish, St. Martin Parish, and Iberia Parish.
Okay.
And we had every member of the leadership team from those parishes for the most part on every call, especially when we got started, like in March, April, May, when it was a lot going on. And you have to keep in mind the reason the call got to be so big is because the way we had to conduct business change. For example, in this year's our public works department, where we used to send out a crew to cut grass, something simple as cutting grass. They would send three and four people in a truck. They would go to their equipment and they would just get on their lawnmower, their tractor, and start cutting grass. We couldn't do that anymore because we couldn't ride. We had to social distance. So we had to figure out a way how to come up with vehicles, additional vehicles to get simple, what we consider to be very, very simple things done, became a little bit complicated. Not necessarily complicated, but we had to change the way we did business to be able to provide the services in these parishes to the people that they were normally getting. One of the things that hurt Iberia Parish, and I can say, is that we would pick up trash, for example. We had a trash crew that would go out every weekend from the district attorney's office, and we would use people that was community service people. Everyone would just meet at our public works department and we would, get in a vehicle and drive and we'd pick up trash all over the place. That had to change. Couldn't do that anymore. So in fact, I'm going to give a little shout out right now to our sheriff department and our district attorney that we're trying to put that particular service back in place, because if you're right around these parishes now, you're starting to see a lot more trash around, because simply because we don't have people picking it up or doing the things the way we used to do it. Anyway, so that call played a very, very important role as to what we do in the parishes as far as leadership from the parish presidents and the mayors. Another thing that we learned from this year, other than just changing your day-to-day operation of your business, is that we're not prepared for something like a pandemic, especially like in Iberia Parish. You remember this past year, we had like two or three storms that hit. And typically what we would do is just use, if we needed a place for sheltering, we would just use our surrogates and people would go there and we would shelter there. Well, we had a whole different set of rules and things we had to do this past year because we only have that one place. But in order to use it, we had to figure out how we can quarantine a group of people here and there. Made it very, very, very difficult. Thank God that the hurricanes didn't hit us to where we had to actually use that particular facility. So from that, one of the things that we need to do in Iberia Parish, and that's on the horizon, is come up with a facility, build a facility in Iberia Parish that we could use in case of an event, whether it's going to be from a hurricane or from anything, a derailment, a flood, or whatever the case, we'll have somewhere that would be designated where we can actually get people to go in and take shelter. It's a very, very, very important part of what it is that we need to do in Iberia Parish moving forward. The one thing that I can say, Marty, is that we learned a lot from COVID-19. I can tell you, me, for example, my schedule was always, you know, I can only do one or two meetings a day. If I got three meetings a day, it was very, very tough because you're traveling from the Iberia to Baton Rouge and you're going to Lafayette. And by the time you do all this travel, you know, you got 2 hours to get to Lafayette, 2 hours to get back. You might can do another meeting that day. Actually, the COVID helped in a lot of ways for us to conduct business. Because, like, for example, I have your meeting, like what we're doing right here, right now. When I finish this one here, I'm going to have 10 minutes before I go into my next meeting, which is the call that I just mentioned with Dr. Safansky and the governor's office, or members from the governor's office and throughout this whole region. So right. I don't have to travel as much as we used to do.
You wouldn't have been able to do this, for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So my office is set up a little bit different. I'm looking at how close you guys are to your camera, and I like that. But my camera is way on the other end of the office, you know, so I sit a little bit farther, but I have these meetings literally every day. And we set up to conduct these meetings, and the staff are coming here. And no matter if we're dealing with something with the National Association of County Officials or we're dealing with Senator Cassidy's office, we're completely set up to handle these meetings right now. And that was something we never, ever had in the past. So we learned a lot of things from COVID. COVID definitely put us in a position to where we had to learn. We had no choice but learn what was going on because simply there was no time for a learning curve. So everything that we did had to be done at that particular time and move on. So in saying that, and speaking of COVID, I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the communications that we had, like with our delegation, our congressional delegation, and things of that nature, and they work very, very, very close with us. Our state delegation, our congressional delegation, all of the different municipalities throughout the region, we are one team. And I think Dr. Savansky can tell you that because we truly work to help each other. And the importance of the team, for example, on this COVID call that we make, we're actually doing it once a week now. A week before last, we decided that we're not going to do two calls a week. We're going to do one call a week because our numbers are coming down. Our percent positivity is coming down throughout the whole region. And when we had, hypothetically speaking, example only, when we had one parish that might be at 11 or 12 or 13 and the other parish at 8 or 7 or whatever, we communicated. You know, we got off the call and we would call them, what are you doing? What are you doing in your parish? How are you doing this? What are you doing? So we tried to not recreate the wheel to make things work for us throughout the region, but communicate and collaborate and figure out what it was and how we was getting this message across. And we found that if we all present the same message, we do better as a region. But when you have one parish doing this and another parish saying that, it created a little issue for us. But and the thing about this is, like you said, this virus have no idea what a region or what a parish line in. And we travel, whether we realize it or not. We just get in our vehicle and we're going to go shop at stores in Lafayette and St. Landry Parish and all over the place, and maybe even same here. So we need to try to get our numbers down so we don't have to be stuck into one little area. The other thing I want to talk about is stimulus. One of the things that we work very, very close with our congressional delegation is on funding and how money would be coming down from Washington, D.C. I'm a member of the National Association of County Officials, so I sit in the steering committee for that particular deal. And along with the National Association of County Officials and the Louisiana Police Jury Association, Guy Cormier is the president of that organization. We work extremely close with our delegation and all of the different states, the state senators throughout Washington, D.C. So right now we have, in this particular bill, Iberia Parish and all of the other parishes and municipalities in the state of Louisiana and every county throughout the United States is going to be receiving dollars from this new stimulus that just came out. Iberia Parish, for example, we're going to be receiving some $13.5 million. The city of New Iberia is going to receive $10.5 million. Generette is going to receive $1.9 million. Lauraville is going to receive $309,000. And Delcom is going to receive $681,000. Now, that's serious dollars. The thing about it right now, Marty and panel, is we don't exactly know where we can spend this money as of today. In fact, we haven't gotten the money yet as of today. So we're trying to work with Treasury, U.S. Treasury, to find out where this money is going to be able to be spent. And it's going to be, I can tell you right now, if Iberia Parish, we certainly can use it. We certainly can use, we have a lot of expense that that we have to get back in line. There are a lot of things that we were able to file for and receive dollars for things that we did from the beginning of this epidemic, pandemic. But we still have a lot of things that we need to do. One of the things you heard me talk about earlier is figure out how to prepare Iberia Parish for the future, when dealing with things like this. And one of the things we have to do is find a location, because we're certainly not prepared, if something like this would happen, where you have to quarantine people, or, deal with the social distancing. And if you have a number of people, we certainly would be in a major one.
One of the other things that I'm curious about, Larry, is it appears from all indication that our Iberia Medical Center team just went into overdrive and responded beautifully. Comments about that?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought it up. I can't even say enough about Dion Vietar and her staff and her board and the whole Iberia Parish team. Dion is on our calls quite regular. She has been an unbelievable asset to Iberia Parish and the role that she plays with Iberia Medical Center, but not only Iberia Medical Center, and not only the hospitals. I need to talk about the schools, Carrie Lavalette as well. We have a great team here, but since we're talking about the hospital, they have really stepped up. I mean, we have a lot of communications like no other. I mean, I talked to Deion, I was on the phone with Deion last night, talking about some things that we're trying to do, a facility that we would like to have here in Iberia Parish. I was on the phone with her this morning, in fact, and Chester, and Prescott Marshall, not on the phone, I was texting her, and I was on the phone with Prescott, trying to find additional locations, because I think Dr. Safansky may have spoken to Prescott this morning or whenever about doing additional testing in Iberia Parish. The line of communications that we have through the Louisiana, through Dr. Safansky's office and the Department of Health and all of the hospitals around this region, our Homeland Security people and our 911 people, it's just been amazing. It's been truly a blessing to see how, if you try to communicate and you try to share information with people, you can win all the time. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to stop people from getting the COVID, the virus. It's not going to ever do that. But we do inform people, notify people of the strengths and what we are doing to make things work and where we find the shortfall is. I can tell you with Dr. Safansky, one of the biggest things I've had, I wanted to know the number of people in Iberia Parish that was actually getting the vaccine. Because I need that number. I need to know what that number is so I can understand the progress that we're making. And we're making substantial progress. And Dr. Sabansky, While you're here, I want to tell you it's a pleasure working with you and your staff, and with Carol and the whole staff. It's just an awesome, it's awesome collaboration between everyone. Thank you.
And where do we need to be, Dr. Stefanski? I know there's a percentage number that we need to be in terms of vaccination in our population where we reach, I'm not real fond of the term, but I think it is the term, is herd immunity. Where do we need to be on that?
And again, the scientists on the call can know a lot about this, as well, but it really depends. In general, herd immunity depends on how contagious the disease is. And okay. So this is, we know that COVID is very contagious. And so the numbers that you hear kind of discussed are about 80%, 70 to 80% of the population should be vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity. But I think it's really important if you think about vaccination plus mask wearing, because we know not, for example, children, there's no vaccine approved for anyone less than 16. So Pfizer, which the New Iberia Research Center had such a great role in the Pfizer vaccine. That vaccine is actually approved down to age 16, but we don't have anything for younger people. So we're not going to be able to achieve herd immunity just through vaccination alone at this moment. We'll get closer to it, but so I think herd immunity we need to think about is vaccination plus doing all these other kind of, you know, routine common sense kind of things to slow down transmission.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. I know that y'all have a very important meeting to get off to before I let you guys go. Any last comments? And then we'll talk about the great things happening out at NIRC.
Now, I think from my perspective, I think it's important, and Ms. Reshort alluded to it, kind of all behind the scenes, is that there's a very thoughtful, it's a small group of us, but you know, we all learned a lot from Hurricane Katrina. And as a result, we've got these great networks. So the hospitals, there's a point of contact at each hospital. We have a coordinator at each hospital. They work with us in LDH. We work with the parishes, Homeland Security. So we talk all of the time and have been for years. So those relationships are already there. So if there's a hospital that's got some issues or needs, supplies, and again, Iberia Medical Center was tremendous throughout all of this. You know, they let us know. They knew how to communicate with us. And the same for vaccinations. We're using that same network to make sure that it's a very thoughtful rollout of testing. It's a thoughtful rollout of vaccinations. And so it's a communication is definitely key, and we've got it. We've got it here in Katie.
Awesome. Mr. Perez?
I think that's it. I mean, again, I just want to make sure that we, as they say, give a shout out to GOSEP for being a part of this call every week, and the governor's office for being a part of this call. Dr. Joseph Boy, sophomore from UL, he's on every call. Monique from the Acadiana Planning Commission. I just want to make sure that I include everyone that's been such a major part in trying to communicate and collaborate what's going on in these different parishes. And that's it for me. If anyone have any questions, I'd be happy to answer, but that's it for me.
Jeff, have we had any calls?
No, well, the one call we did have was not related to the show.
Oh, okay. I saw you answer the phone. I wasn't sure if we needed to take a little question. Well, thank y'all. Again, I know both of y'all are super busy. Larry, thank you for your hard work. Thank Dr. You. Tina, you know, like I said, household name now. Well, welcome to celebrity, right?
Not horribly, but thank y'all. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. And I'm glad y'all got to. I've been also on a board at UL for years and learned. And through that, have learned a lot about the great work at the New Iberia Research Center and the tremendous group of professionals that run that center. So I think it's great that you're highlighting their role in vaccine development.
Awesome. Well, y'all have a wonderful day. And again, thank you so much. So, you know how I think one of the late night people go, and meanwhile, the kind of thing. Well, so meanwhile, right here in, right over at the airbase, you know, local people stories go that way. The scientist of the University of Louisiana's New Iberia Research Center, who were already engaged in several types of vaccine research, as I understand, were called into action on the COVID-19 front. Dr. Villinger and Ms. Fontenot, for those who aren't familiar with the NIRC, please give us a bit of background on it and tell us about the COVID-19 vaccine journey that happened there.
Sure, Marty. Thank you again for the invite. So the NIRC, or the Monkey Farm, as it's been generally called downtown New Iberia, is, some listener may not realize it, it's the largest academically affiliated non-human primate research center in the U.S. We have right now 8,500 monkeys out here. The center is uniquely doing research for biomedical treatments, vaccines, prevention, therapies, etc. This is our mission. We're not doing any tox work for any, you know, cleaning products or whatever. We're all about medicine, bringing something from the bench, some findings from bench to the clinic. And generally for a lot of the products, that a lot of the things that come to the clinical treatment, we're the last step where you have to verify that, one, the product that you bring forward is efficient or efficacious, and two, is there is no harm, no toxicity associated with it. And only then will the product move into clinical trials. And so, yes, NIRC has been involved in a lot of infectious diseases, HIV, HPV, etc. We work in flu, etc. So we've been certainly very good. The other aspect of NIRC as a primate center, it's not part of the network of the seven national primate centers that are supported by NIH. And we have been working a lot closer with the pharmaceutical industry. And this has certainly brought something together during the COVID pandemic. It's been certainly a crazy 14 months, I should say. but as the NIH started clamping down the control over the seven national primate center, we're out of this control, if you want to see it that way. Mm-hmm. And so industry has been coming flocking to us a lot more, and I'll let Jane talk a lot more about that. But that allows us to respond much, much faster than probably some other places. Because the NIRC, even so it's affiliated with the University of Louisiana Lafayette, we operate, part of it operates as a contract research organization, which is headed by Jane Fontenot, whereas I tend to focus on the NIH and Gates-funded research. So we moved, maybe in part thanks to COVID, we've added some 2,000 monkeys since in the last 5 years, and certainly this year has added quite a few more. We've gotten many new contracts, and also monkeys were moved from other places. So, you know, it's sad to say, but a crisis is a terrible thing to waste, and we certainly leveraged a lot of it for the benefit of the center and for the parish as well. So we've hired actually more people, we formed more people, and we're doing more work. Certainly this year has been has brought a lot of challenges, as mentioned by Dr. Stefanski and Larry. We couldn't certainly, working from home when you have all these monkeys on site who need to be fed and taken care of is not an option, so we've never closed. The one benefit we have is our work routinely includes PPE, because we have to protect the animals and protect the humans. So that wasn't too much of a stretch to extend that to also the meetings between humans, not just human and monkeys, but we certainly have been doing a lot of work. We haven't interrupted the other programs, or made sure that we could not interrupt the other programs that are going on, where we took on the testing of 8 COVID vaccines, no less than that, as well as some of the antibody therapeutics. So we've been testing the trafficking, for example, of convalescent antibodies and monoclonal antibodies that are currently being used in patients to try to see whether they actually go to the lung or to the areas where you have the vaccine that replicates. And this has all been done thanks to some fairly state-of-the-art imaging technology that we have brought into the center in the last in the last 3-4 years. So we're really sort of at the cutting edge. We're having more scientists in place with this pandemic. And I think the center has been doing reasonably well despite of all the difficulties, hurricanes and everything else that came in during the past 12 months.
Right.
As I said, it's brought a lot of challenges, but I think we've been able to meet them and certainly, hopefully, play a significant role in the at the parish level. I'd like to add a few things about vaccine efficacy in against COVID. So a number of people think that if they have been infected, they might be immune towards the reinfection, which is true if you've been reinfected by the same isolate that came in. It's not true against some of the variants that are coming from South Africa and Brazil, and they're coming, they're here. It's not just something that you have to think it's never going to happen. It is happening. And so, for example, in South Africa, 30% of the people infected with the new variants were actually infected with the original one. So it doesn't protect that well. Vaccines, on the other hand, even the current ones do protect to maybe not to the same level as against the original variants, but they do protect. You still get protection from them much better than from a previous infection. So even so, people who have been infected, please take the vaccine. And then you might have a little more side effects, more headaches and stuff, but I would strongly encourage you to take it because it broadens your protection against some of the variants that are coming. And this is sort of a segue towards something, the question, Marty, that you had for Tina. Yes, herd immunity would be 80%, might be good against the original virus. The new variants, however, are taking over because they are more infectious and they transmit faster. So the level of herd immunity is sort of a moving target. It just depends how much the virus, depends on the ability of the new viruses that are coming out to transmit. So yes, we need to probably vaccinate as many people as possible. And even if some people consider that vaccination is a personal choice, yes, it's a personal choice, but you're affecting others by not choosing not to be vaccinated. You know, this is certainly true. This is not specific to COVID. We have a new outbreak of measles in the U.S. and the developed world, Europe as well. I remember measles as a kid. Kids would get it, and some, you know, you develop immunity and you're fine. However, we forget that this disease also tends to kill kids. And so not vaccinating your children with that is not a very good choice. I think not only for yourself, but for the others in the community.
Well, thank you so for that.
I think I'll let Jane talk about the Pfizer vaccine and others because she's probably more eloquent than myself. So.
Yes, please. let's hear the Pfizer story. And Jeff, how are we doing on time? I know we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Yeah, we're about 4 minutes away.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Jane.
We all have our own stories through COVID, and I have to honestly say our story is an amazing one. So while the university was going virtual, we were actually charged with how do you work safely under this new set of rules and conditions to continue to do the critical research that we need to do. So as the university was going virtual, we were having this influx of clients that were so desperately trying to work towards solving the pandemic, or at least assisting with solving the pandemic by doing vaccine research. So we were fortunate we have the infrastructure in place. We were also very fortunate that we have long-term relationships across many facilities, even with the National Primate Centers. So while we were able to do the vaccine research for, as Dr. Billinger mentioned, 8 or more vaccines, we're still doing vaccine research for COVID. We were also able to facilitate getting those studies started in a manner to get the end result tested as quickly as possible to get it into human clinical trials. We don't have a BSL-3 facility, so while we can do the vaccination portion and we can tell you that, yes, there are antibodies generated and it appears to work, the final piece has to be transferring those monkeys to another facility to actually be exposed to the COVID virus. So we were also in a position to help with that as well. We started planning our studies with that end result in mind and worked backward on the calendar to start the studies when we needed to. And the overall message that I want to give everybody is I have never seen such a cooperative and a collaborative time in research. It's typically very, very proprietary. You know, this is what I'm doing and nobody's helping. But that was not what this was at all. It was really tremendous. Our staff, I was so proud of our staff. They dealt daily with personal lives, the possibility of being infected, working in close proximity with each other here. And we still managed to do this. We had to actually go through periods where we were a little bit tasked on staffing, but we still managed to do what we needed to do to assist in getting this vaccine and others to market. There's still so much tremendous research coming out in the area of COVID. Therapeutics, monoclonals, small molecules. It's really good. I see, and I honestly feel like we're rounding the corner in a positive manner that we're going to get ahead of this. And that's our takeaway on all of this.
That's awesome, Jane. And all happening right here at the airbase, right?
Proud. So very, very proud.
We're so excited about that. Well, we're running out of time, so I need to get a few little things in here. Infrastructure, particularly broadband internet connectivity, has become a major topic of discussion during the pandemic. And next week, we'll get insight on the Regional Broadband Initiative of the Acadiana Planning Commission with CEO Monique Boulay and Chad Lacombe, Development Planner. And since Easter is just a couple weeks away, we're going to do something fun, too. We're going to get the details on a very sweet Easter egg hunt from the Frosted Apron, Stacy Dempsey. Of course, you can always find out what's coming up on our programming and other announcements, too, by giving Positively Iberia's Facebook page a like and follow. Send us a message there if you have a story idea to share, and don't forget to tune in to News 15, our TV partner, and catch the Positively Iberia promotional spots. Before we go, thanks again to our panel, Dr. Tina Stefanski from the Office of Public Health, M. Larry Richard, our Iberia Parish President, Dr. Francois Villinger, and Ms. Jane Fontenot from the ULL New Iberia Research Center. Thank you for taking time to be with us today. Positively Iberia is produced by the Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce in cooperation with Tesh Matters here on Kane 107.5 FM AM 1240 and our promotional partner News 15 KDN KLAF and underwritten by the First National Bank of Generette. Later today we'll share an In Case You Missed It post with a video of today's Zoom panel, the links to the things we mentioned, and a reminder of how to find the archive to this and other audio segments of Positively Iberia on the Kane 1240 website, where you can replay that anytime on demand. And in closing, and on a personal note, today is day 368, 1 year and 3 days, into my pandemic hermitage. However, and more important is the fact that I'm fully vaccinated, and in 2 days, my body's immunity, hopefully, will have built to the point that I can feel confident to safe enough to re-enter into another phase of new normal. But I'll still be masking up. I'll be moving forward following all of the protocols and staying informed, because if the past year has taught me anything, it's taught me that things will change. So as always, please mask up, sleeve up when it's your turn, stay safe, and remember, it's only getting better.